Jesus Christ has made me whole. By his death he saved my soul. For my sin he bore the cross. For my gain he suffered loss. Lamb of God dying on a tree. Man of sorrows wounded there for me. On the cross he paid sin's penalty. In my place on Calvary. From my sin Christ set me free. From hell's pit he rescued me. With his blood he made my plea. Paid my ransom eternally. Lamb of God dying on a tree. Man of sorrows wounded there for me. On the cross he paid sin's penalty. In my place on Calvary. As I view the suffering Christ, stirred by all his sacrifice, all my heart I gladly give, for he died that I might live. Lamb of God dying on a tree, man of sorrows wounded there for me. On the cross he paid sin's penalty. In my place on Calvary.
Is there any other way to be saved? The Bible gives the answer, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus himself confirmed this when in John 14:6 he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why do we still look at the cross? 1 Corinthians 1:18, for if the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Let's turn our gaze away from the cross and to the place we celebrate today, the empty tomb. At first, there was a lot of confusion at the empty tomb, but that confusion would turn to rejoicing when the women and the disciples realized that Jesus was alive. In Mark 16:6, the angel said, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Behold, look, see for yourself. There is no one in the tomb."
Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, I would believe in Jesus too if I had seen him," like they did? Remember Thomas? In John 20:25, after the other disciples had seen the risen Lord, but Thomas wasn't with them at the time, Thomas said, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe."
What about you? We haven't physically seen the risen Lord. Here's what Jesus said after appearing to Thomas in John 20:29. "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And then there's 1 Peter 1:8, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." We see through the eyes of faith. Ephesians 1:18-20, "The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead."
Oh,
So what does the resurrection mean to us Christians? For us, it means we have a new birth. We have forgiveness of sins. We are now justified. We no longer have to fear the wrath of God. We have an intercessor. We have hope. And one day, we too will be raised up. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, "And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Look, behold your resurrected Lord, and long for the day when we will be raised to be with him. What a glorious resurrection day."
Isaiah chapter 53 in the Old Testament is a very strategic passage of Scripture, and in the beginning of that chapter, this question is asked: who hath believed our report? This was a rhetorical question, of course, implying that no one, or at least not very many, had believed. The same question could be asked upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was clear that Jesus died a real physical death. In Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 42, it says, "And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of a certain, of the centurion, He gave the body to Joseph, and he brought fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in the linen, laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. But on the third day, this happened. Mark chapter 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Now the resurrection will be clearly reported. The question is, who would believe the report? There were eyewitnesses. Would you go over to Matthew chapter 28? In verse 11, Matthew chapter 28, verse 11. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done." Now, who was the watch? Well, back in chapter 27 of Matthew, verse 62, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first.' Pilate said unto them, 'You have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can.'" That's an interesting statement. "Make it as sure as you can." "So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." Now, since this request for a watch was being made unto a Roman official, Pilate, it is understandable that there would be Roman soldiers posted at the tomb. And in that, Pilate said, "Make it as sure as you can." I think that gave the chief priest the freedom to subscribe as many Roman soldiers as they wanted. We don't know how many Roman soldiers there were. Now, a typical watch would be 4, but I think there were a lot more. Make it as sure as you can. The only thing is, all of these Roman soldiers became eyewitnesses to the resurrection. It backfired. Matthew 28, verse 2. "And behold, there was a great earthquake." Do you think the Roman soldiers felt the earthquake? It was a great earthquake. They felt the earthquake. "For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." Did they see the angel? Apparently, because of what we will be told in a moment. They saw the angel. They saw the angel roll the stone away, and they saw the angel sit on top of the stone. Verse 3, "His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. So note, verse 4, "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." Surely they did see the angel, because the angel made them so afraid. They were practically immobilized. The Roman soldiers saw and felt the earthquake, which, if any of them were dozing off, would have awakened them immediately. They saw the angel descend from heaven and roll the stone from the entrance of the tomb. Not one of those Roman soldiers could have done that by himself, but the angel did. They saw the angel sit on top of the stone after he rolled it away from the entrance to the tomb. And when they saw this angel sitting there, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment as white as snow. And they, seeing these things, became so frightened it made them shake and practically paralyzed them momentarily. It was very clear to these Roman soldiers that this was no ordinary event. It was miraculous. In spite of the evidence, the chief priests would not believe. Verse 11 of Matthew 28. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. Apparently not all. I don't know what happened to the rest of that watch. You think they became believers? But some of the watch, instead of going their way, went to the chief priests and told them all the things that were done. Verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. I wonder how much that was. Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Imagine that. These soldiers saw this miraculous thing, but rather than believing on Jesus, they took money. What a choice. But there was a problem. Jesus started showing up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5 through 7 tells us a little bit about those appearances, not a whole lot, but it lists some for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5. And he was seen of Cephas, that is Peter. Apparently, on the day of resurrection, sometime during that day, Jesus appeared to Peter alone, because it was that evening of the resurrection that he appeared to the 12, which it says next. And then it says in verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. And notice what it says, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now, Paul is writing 1 Corinthians 25 years after the resurrection. And he says at this point that the greater part of those 500 were still living. For 25 years they've been able to testify. They saw Jesus after the resurrection. After that, he was seen of James and then of all the apostles. We're not told the whole list. Some of these are not even recorded for us in the Gospels, and some that are in the Gospels aren't included in this list. It's hard to tell how many times Jesus appeared. He showed up many times to many people, and it was undeniable. The resurrection was real. There were so many eyewitnesses to the resurrection. You really couldn't deny it, except there were so many who refused to receive the Son, even though it was proven he was alive. A wealthy man and his son loved to collect rare works of art. They had everything in their collection from Picasso to Raphael. They would often sit together and admire the great works of art. When the Vietnam conflict broke out, the son went to war. He was very courageous and died in battle while rescuing another soldier. The father was notified and grieved deeply for his only son. About a month later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. A young man stood at the door with a large package in his hands. He said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I am a soldier. And I am the soldier for whom your son gave his life to save mine." He saved many lives that day, and he was carrying me to safety when a bullet struck him in the heart and he died instantly. He often talked about you and your love of art. The young man held out his package. "I know this isn't much. I'm not really a real artist, but I think your son would have wanted you to have this." The father opened the package. It was a portrait of his son, painted by the young man. He stared in awe at the way the soldier had captured the personality of his son in the painting. The father was so drawn to the eyes that his own eyes welled up with tears. He thanked the young man and offered to pay him for the picture. "Oh, no, sir. I could never repay what your son did for me. It's a gift." The father hung the portrait over his mantle, and every time visitors came to visit his home, he took them to see the portrait of his son before he took them to see the paintings of the masters. The man died a few months later. There was to be a great auction of his paintings. Many influential people gathered, excited over seeing the great paintings and having the opportunity to purchase one for their collection. On the platform sat the painting of the sun. The auctioneer pounded his gavel. "We'll start the bidding with this picture of the sun. Who will bid for this picture?" There was silence. Then a voice in the back of the room shouted, "We want to see the famous painting. Skip this one." But the auctioneer persisted. "Will someone bid for this painting? Who will start the bidding? $100? $200? Another voice shouted angrily, "We didn't come to see this painting. We want to see the Van Goghs and the Rembrandts. Get on with the real bids." But still the auctioneer continued. "The sun. The sun. Who will take the sun?" Finally, a voice from the very back of the room. It was a longtime gardener of the man and his son. "I'll give $10 for the painting." Being a poor man, it was all he could afford. "We have $10. Who will bid $20? "Give it to him for $10. Let's see the masters. $10 is the bid. Won't somebody bid $20? The crowd became angry. They didn't want the picture of the sun. They wanted the more worthy investments for their collections. The auctioneer pounded his gavel. "Going once, twice, sold for $10. A man sitting on the second row shouted, "Now let's get on with the collection." The auctioneer laid down his gavel. "I'm sorry, the auction is over." "What about the paintings?" "I'm sorry. When I was called to conduct this auction, I was told of a stipulation in the will. I was not allowed to reveal it until this moment. Only the painting of the sun would be auctioned. Whoever bought the painting would inherit the entire estate, including the paintings. That man who took the son gets everything." God gave his son 2,000 years ago. He died on a cruel cross to save us from our sins. Much like the auctioneer, his message is today, the son, who will take the son? For you see, the Son is alive and a living Savior. And you see, whoever takes the Son gets everything. He gets forgiveness of sins. He gets eternal life. He gets all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He gets the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He gets the guarantee of heaven to be with Jesus forever. Whoever takes the Son gets it all. Have you received the Son? Will you receive the Son? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the living, eternal Son. The one who left the glories of heaven to die on the cross for our sins and to rise again to give us everything. Heavenly Father, if there is anyone in this room at this moment that has not yet received the Son, has nothing, will you touch their heart and help them to see that Jesus is alive and all he did was for them? And if they will receive the Son, they get all your blessings. Bring souls to Christ today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.